This is an extract from my new book, Squeezing the Orange. Our next destination was Mashhad, the holy city of Iran, with its extraordinary mosque. Alas, we didn't have time to do more than drive round it. Our hotel for the night was surprisingly part of a famous international chain, and as usual, we parked the old gal outside the front entrance, hoping that it would rapidly become a tourist attraction and get us a decent discount. The trick didn't work on this particular occasion, but it did flush the hotel's general manager from his lair. He was a good-looking young German called Bruno Brunner, and while he took a shine to the car, the main object of his attention was Judy, who played along splendidly. He organized a party that evening and discovered, somewhere in the hotel far below stairs, a cachet of champagne which he unleashed upon us. We made sure not a drop was left. When I was woken up at 5:30 the next morning, for the rolls were starting off an hour later, I had a pretty nasty hangover. As we were about to leave, I remembered I had to leave a note for Michael. Not feeling my best, I went back to reception and started to write. I began, "My dear," but for the life of me, I couldn't think of Michael's name. So I went on, "Old thing," and then wrote the message. Later that day, when the two cars met up for lunch, Michael brandished the note at me and said, "I've not been called my dear old thing since my father died." And that was where, how, and why this silly phrase, which was to become a catchphrase with me, started its life. When the cricket tour started in India at the end of our journey, I found that "my dear old thing" came in useful when I was unable to remember a person's name. It gave me a bit of breathing space, during which someone might come up and call whoever it was by his correct name, and I would be away.